I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, and welcome back to So I Got to Thinking, your weekly Sex and the City podcast, where we take the iconic questions of Carrie Bradshaw and apply them to modern life and love. You are listening, as ever, to Black Cherry Dylan B. Jones and Purse Banana Juno Dawson. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Juno. For some reason, I knew I was going to be a Russian delicacy. I thought I might
You could have been Veelin Aspic,
so... I thought I might have been Aspic, and you might have been Black Cherry. Yeah, food from that part of the world... No.
I mean, I wouldn't eat veal anyway, because I'm a vegetarian, but veal in jelly? Abso-fucking-lutely not.
Politically incorrect meat in jelly.
That's right. This week we are discussing season 6, episode 12, one. Well, or is it episode 11?
It's 12. The one.
No, the episode's just called one.
Oh, is it?
One. Yeah, just one.
We're back.
We're back. Have you missed us?
What's happened? Well, I think this might be the first time we've come back where there hasn't been, in the interim, there hasn't been a lockdown or or a new prime minister. It's been quiet.
consistent.
For the UK, at least, it's been quite a calm period.
I mean, we're at war.
Well, there is that.
There's that.
Yes.
And we have an unelected government dropping missiles on people. But other than that, everything's tickety-boo over here. I think our listeners have missed us, Dylan, because I get lots of lovely Instagram messages from So I Got to Thinking listeners saying, when are you coming back? When are you back? Here we are. We're back.
We thought it was best to wait until just the nothing months. January and February, it's like the Monday and Tuesday of the year, isn't it? Like, nothing happens.
I mean, God, at least February is short. Although it has an extra day this year. There are 29 days in February this year.
Oh.
Just stretching it out even longer.
Have we? I think we haven't recorded since we hit a million listeners. Have we?
We haven't.
We have hit a million.
This is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I messaged Juno when it happened, and I said, what a wonderful and ridiculous milestone we've hit a million listeners for talking about Carrie Bradshaw, and we couldn't be happier about it.
In the words of Charlotte, I'm worth a million. No, thank you. I mean, I cannot imagine a million of anything. So it's more listeners than I can conceive. how lovely. And yet, nope, still people are not sending us free things, Dylan. A million listeners
at the very least. I mean, I think probably the brand we've mentioned the most is Vivienne Westwood. Granted, a couple of times we've mentioned it, we've been slagging it off, but at the very least, like a Vivienne Westwood pendant, like one of those pendants would be nice.
They did. Do you know what Vivienne Westwood did? Offered to dress me for the Rolling Stones Awards, and they just didn't fit. My titties are just too big for Vivienne, unfortunately. Yeah, which is a real shame.
I feel like for a lot of her clothes for female presenting people, you need a sort of Taylor Momsen frame, like a sort of goth.
Well, I always thought that Vivian Westwood would be good for big boobs because it's all kind of corseted and squish things up to your chin.
Yeah.
But no, that dress was not fastening over my back. So that was the end of that.
You could have just, you could have just put a big safety pin in it and been like, oh, it's part of it.
That would have been very Vivian Westwood. Yeah. It would have, Dylan, it would have needed to be a fairly big safety pin. But yeah, no, we couldn't even scrounge up some freebies to go and see SJP in Plaza Suite.
Yeah.
And we tried really hard.
Fuck you, Sarah Jessica Parker. No, I'm kidding.
So this is us not promoting Plaza Suite. So the last word we'll say on it.
That'll show him.
Other West End shows are available.
Watch now. Now in like 2 weeks, we'll get like tickets through and have to go back and edit this out of the episode.
We'll be editing it, so nobody will ever know because we will have edited it out. So it'll be fine. Yeah, thanks, Martin. Just keep this one on the watch list.
Juno has been doing some podcast moonlighting, with her lovely official BBC Doctor Who podcast for the Christmas specials.
I know, it's so legitimate. You know it's legit when you get a professional makeup artist and everything is filmed for YouTube. And yeah, that's what I got. I got a full face of makeup for a podcast because everything was also on the official Doctor Who YouTube channel. So I wasn't wearing my Eurovision hoodie straight out the gym for that one. I'm gonna do a selfie of us now to celebrate the fact we're back, of me looking just absolutely horrific. And there you go. So that picture that was on our Instagram, you just saw us, that was live taken. Dylan, for the first time this series, and I know all our listeners love that sound effect, do you want to bust open your potted synopsis?
I do. Something about the phrase bust open with that noise, with that sound effect.
Is that what it sounds like when you jizz?
It's giving SEMA with the penis pump guy again. So season 6, episode 12. I think this was slightly inadvertently, quite a good place for us to take a break. Because it kind of feels like episode one of a new season. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, the car's pulling up, Carrie's getting out at the art exhibition. Very quickly, we meet Alexander Petrovsky, brand new love interest, who...
Say Alec.
Alexandra.
Say Alexander.
Alexandra.
Welcome to Juno's bad Russian accent. I think there's going to be a lot of it.
And he is actually... not Russian, he is Latvian, the actor.
What an amazing factet. Thank you, Dylan.
Yeah. A few interesting factets about him, actually. I did a Wikipedia deep dive. Anyway, Charlotte takes Carrie to an art exhibition. Carrie meets a legendary artist who both Charlotte and Samantha are very excited about, Alexander Petrovsky. So he's probably a celebrity in his field and in his social circles, isn't he?
Yeah.
Rather than, he's not like a household name, but he's like known within certain circles.
Yeah, I think every once in a blue moon, an artist kind of hits the pop culture sphere. The obvious one being Andy Warhol, whereas I think if anybody saw that picture of Marilyn or Elvis or Elizabeth Taylor, they would know it was an Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
It's funny though, isn't it, that artists can be so successful in their field but rarely cross over into the mainstream. I think Damien Hirst,
Anish Kapoor,
Jeff Koon.
Who's the one with all the Japanese one with all the balls? Yayoi Kusama.
Mm-hmm.
She's got all the bubbles.
Tracy Emin.
Yeah, but there's only literally like, I could count on two hands probably the amount of them in the last decade.
So I think that's what Alexander Petrovsky's meant to be, kind of like a Jeff Koon style.
Yeah.
Sort of, if you know, you know, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte, very touching storyline for Charlotte this week.
Yes, and I would like to say, trigger warning right up top about, we'll be talking about pregnancy loss. So if that's not something you want to hear about right now, skip this one.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, very nicely done, I thought. We can get into it.
Yeah.
Miranda and Steve, a big moment for Miranda and Steve. Mm-hmm. And also generally just sort of Miranda grappling with like her being her not being able to handle saying that she loves Robert.
Yeah.
And Samantha's in it for about...
Ah, Samantha.
Samantha's in it for... I imagine her screen time this week adds up to about 3 minutes.
Oh, but what a 3 minutes. What a three minutes.
Chris walked in just as she revealed her clown bush to Carrie, and not for the first time, was like, what is this show? So yeah, Samantha, her theme, I guess, if we are to find a theme, is aging. So she's dealing with aging, mm-hmm. and one of the things she comes up against is she finds a grey pube. So yeah,
the question that we have to try and answer this week is, when will we be done with the one, or when will searching for the one be done?
Yes, that's it. Yeah.
Yes, when will searching for the one be done?
Which I think,
I think
works better on the kind of assonance of that works better on paper than it does in real life. But
yeah, I think it's sort of about why. And we've had this before. We had this last season with plus one is the loneliest number. That why do we let the one thing we don't have define how we feel about all the things we do have?
Yeah.
And really, I think this is such a dramatic episode in terms of moving the plot along, in that everybody's plot, we have a new love interest for Carrie, Charlotte and Harry's family, Miranda and Steve and Robert and Debbie, that actually... I think we're just going to have to let the deeper philosophical question just kind of drop.
Yeah,
this week. We're just going to have to drop it. It's all about, there's some big life stuff happening for all four, well, three of the women.
It is a meaty episode, isn't it? In particular,
really meaty. Yeah.
That brunch scene was actually quite wild. Like, it was like, Miranda was like, Robert said I love you, and then Carrie was like, oh, I've met Petrovsky, and then Charlotte arrives, and she's like, I'm pregnant, and then Samantha's like, I found a great oh yeah, Samantha's like itching.
Scratching her crotch.
And it's just like, what is going on? Written by Michael Patrick King, directed by David Frankel, so it's got two of the big... I guess the big boys.
Some of the OGs.
David Frankel, who directed Devil Wears Prada. And he's done a few. Yeah, and his Sex and the City ones actually are good. The other one he did was really good as well. I can't remember which one it was.
Mm. It does feel quite filmic. It does. You can see that, especially the scene like with Petrovsky chasing after a yellow cab. So let's get into Petrovsky. Now, I sense... within the fandom that he's not a beloved character. He almost borders on villain status.
Yeah.
This could be how it all ends up with him sort of, spoiler alert, he accidentally bops Carrie in the face in about 10 episodes time.
Yeah.
But I think even before that, if that scene did not exist, I think people did not like Petrovsky. On a narrative level, he is the final obstacle that had to be overcome for Carrie to get to her final ending. Again, spoiler, with Big. For her to get to her ending with Big, there had to be a final complication. And Petrovsky presents a complication for Carrie in so many different ways. She has to fall out with her friends. She has to leave New York. And what a kind of a difficult character for Mikhail Baryshnikov to play, you know, and how to do that. And I think it's similar, and I think there's probably similar feeling towards Helen Baxendale's Emily in Friends, which is, how do you introduce a character that is believably going to get married in about 7 episodes' time to one of your main cast? And I think... and Petrovsky's the same thing, which is, how are they going to introduce a character that Carrie would believably want to leave her life in New York for?
And I think that's part of the problem, because I think they slightly failed at that, because it's kind of not believable. Like, I don't know. I think their chemistry is quite good in this episode.
Yes.
But it doesn't quite make sense. He's like, he's very much not, although maybe this was a purposeful decision. Maybe it was meant to feel a bit off, so that viewers were like, oh, much as her friends were, maybe viewers were meant to be a bit like, oh, Carrie, like, what are you doing? Like, this is not you.
So So I've decided I'm going to use this rewatch to try and reevaluate my feelings around Petrovsky and sort of take him on a week by week basis. I think they thought really hard about what kind of man would Carrie Bradshaw be spellbound by.
Mm.
So he's based in the art scene, so she considers herself a romantic. So I think there's something quite Renaissance about the fact he's an artist. You know, it's giving Botticelli or something. You know, it's kind of, it feels right up her street. He isn't very New York. So if Carrie has been dating in New York for 25 years, he's kind of a flavor she's never really experienced. He's not like New York men. He's like the antithesis of Mr. Big in that he is kind of available to her. And I think this episode quite deliberately plays up his foreignness.
Well, I was thinking shades of when she dates that French guy way back in season one, and she's like seduced by his, it sounds fucking ridiculous, but like she's like seduced by his foreignness and like the romanticism of his foreignness, which feels
like something out of a novel.
Yeah,
you can see why Carrie would be into it. And then we went to this sort of samovar at sort of like 2 a.m. and had tea with black cherries and meat jelly, and it was all you can see why Carrie would be intrigued.
It's different from her usual fare, isn't it?
Do you think, Dylan, now this is kind of a bitchy thing to say, do you think feeling towards Petrovsky might have been more sort of if viewers might have been slightly more torn if he didn't look like a Mogwai from Gremlins?
Do you know what? I watched Gremlins over Christmas for the first time ever, and I absolutely loved it.
It's because it's one of the best films ever. But did you fancy Gizmo?
Yes. No, I don't. Do you know what? I went on Letterboxd. I've been really getting into Letterboxd recently. Mm-hmm. And I went on it to read the reviews of Gremlins. And of course, the first review of it, someone had put like, okay, but which is the most fuckable Gremlin? And I was like, what? anyway, yeah, no, I know.
Is it the one lady gremlin from Gremlins 2? Is it the lady gremlin?
I know what you mean. Like Petrovsky, although he won me over a lot more than I remembered in this episode.
He smoulders. He does a good smoulder.
And we've spoken a lot before on this podcast about how for us, like, physical attractiveness or conventional physical attractiveness isn't necessarily the first thing. Like, he's very confident. Like, I was thinking, and what a great concept for a date as well. He's like, oh, let's go to this art gallery at 3 a.m. I would have been intrigued. I would have said yes. And he looked great in his like linen and Converse when she's on the phone to him. That I loved that scene. But
he does have Nicola Sturgeon's hair.
And also, apart from anything else, just so, and I'm sure this was purposeful as well, so different from her usual type. She goes for big, broad, dark-featured, heavy-browed men, and he's not any of that.
You can definitely see, so the part was written for Mikhail Baryshnikov, and this is pure SJP, isn't it, given that we know her absolute dedication to the New York Ballet.
Oh,
yes. Mikhail Baryshnikov is one of the all-time ballet greats. So she would have been, Sarah Jessica Parker would have been very aware of him, and obviously she was like, right, we want this kind of sexy man, and so the part was devised for Baryshnikov. There wasn't ever anybody else. There was no danger of anybody else ever playing Petrovsky, but he's just so little. And now this is my apology to all the Short Kings listening. You know, Dylan, that I would have only ever ended up with somebody taller than I am, and he draws even with Sarah Jessica Parker in heels.
Yeah.
So he's probably about 5'4", 5'5", tops.
Yeah. And you like a big Alexander Skarsgård in The Northman type of...
Yeah. So he's just not for me. And so that's why, even going back to 2001, I was like, what the fuck? Kind of Carrie Like, why? And so it was really hard to understand. This time, being a bit more scientific about it, he smoulders, he sort of looks into her soul.
And also, I think it's interesting when, because it tells us a lot about Carrie as well, and a lot that we already knew, but it's interesting how Carrie, and great acting from all concerned, how Carrie, like, perks up a little bit when Samantha starts talking about, like, oh, he was, like, a legend in Studio 54 and slept with all these models and stuff. And then Carrie's a little bit more like, oh, okay. Like, when there's a bit of context to him, which I think was quite clever, which I think was clever. She would be like that.
And so, basically, in summation, it makes sense that Carrie Bradshaw would be dating Alexander Petrovsky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we have to, even the most fervent hater has to accept that Carrie's a bit of a dickhead. Alexander Petrovsky's a bit of a dickhead. Yeah.
Match made
Maybe
in
they
heaven.
Should be dating.
Oh my God.
I loved Carrie's dress. Yeah. The purple handkerchief dress.
I knew I did.
With the bar underneath.
I did. Mm-hmm. And I knew you would as well. And that hair pinned up looked really nice. Mm.
Her hair. After 6 seasons, this is the best hair she's ever had. Dyed to perfection.
Yeah.
Sort of dark with incredible kind of blonde stripes. Really, really gorgeous.
Nice length, kind of mid-length.
It feels like they've turned down the makeup. So in season 5, that's Carrie's most drag queen makeup, where she looks really wild.
Where she looked really... like Pandora Box when they were in Atlantic City.
Right. Oh, God, insane makeup. So, yeah, so they've chilled it all back a bit. So, you know, she looks incredible. Do you think the artist is meant to be? Is it Marina Abramovich? Is that like an ode to her? Kind of.
It's very that. This was my least favorite part of the episode, just because I think poking fun at, as much as it does often be deserve to be poked fun at, poking fun at like the art world and that kind of art is such low hanging fruit.
Oh, and, cheap shot. Yeah.
Yeah, and I also like was thinking it doesn't make sense that Carrie would be so disparaging of art because she's like sentimental and imaginative and I think she'd be into it. So it was weird, but they probably did it so that she had that back and forth with Petrovsky.
And it was 22 years ago. Do you think in 22 years, perhaps as a result of Marina, that we've slightly expanded our view on performance art? I wonder if 20 years ago, and Charlotte comments, you know, that, you know, having performance art as installation is unusual. So maybe it was. I mean, maybe they'd recently seen something in New York combining performance art and installation. We are so used to it now, perhaps.
I did actually wonder, we're on the same like wavelength of that, because I thought because it seemed quite random that they'd included it, and I thought maybe it was kind of part of the zeitgeist and the conversation at the time, like it was a new thing. And I tried googling like performance art New York City, and obviously like it was just like a sea of I couldn't even find like anything to do with it, but could be that it was
it Tilda Swinton who once slept in a case.
I wouldn't put it
or
past
was it David Beckham.
I wouldn't put it past her.
It was someone, I think possibly there was one where people queued up to see Tilda Swinton asleep in a glass case in a museum. And then, of course, the ultimate installation as art was everybody queuing up to see the Queen's dead body.
Oh, yes. I mean, that was definitely art.
If you're willing to do that, then you're willing to go see a woman starve in an art. Although it does beg the question, what if she was there for 3 weeks? Was she eating? She must have been. She'd have died.
Yeah, she had to eat. She had to have eaten.
Yeah, she had to. Maybe people were delivering food to her. Deliveroo climbing up the knife ladder. 15% tip.
Throwing like the burger box up and then the sauce.
Just spinning McDonald's up the ladder. And here we are making fun of performance art.
I know.
Sorry, we walked into it.
It's just, it's easy to do. It's low hanging fruit. I just googled it. It was Tilda Swinton.
Oh, there you go.
Tilda Swinton. There she lies, a woman stretched out on a white mattress, encoffined in glass. Says the newrepublic.com.
You did not think was significant.
You are comic.
You are comic.
I did love SJP's acting when Charlotte was like gushing to Petrovsky and she was saying like, you define 70s in the terms of progressive, and like Carrie's just like fucking like fidgeting. And she's just like in the background, just like fidgeting around.
And we've all done that when you're with a friend and they're like really obsessed with somebody slightly famous and you're like, I've literally never seen you in anything ever. Like, I don't know who you are. I've never seen your show. And then so all you can do is fib and just be like,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Love that for you. Love that journey. So to be continued, more Petrovsky next week. Uncomfortable with her taking a lover? Let's find out next week. Let's take a little break. And then when we get back, we've got so much more to talk about because we've got so much Miranda and so much Charlotte stuff to cover.
Yes.
And Samantha's one grey pube. So enjoy these short messages and we'll be right back.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. The one, just one, like the U2 song. Welcome back. Let's start with the heaviest one. Let's start with Charlotte.
Yes.
How good is Kristen Davis in this episode?
I was going to say I'd forgotten, but that's inaccurate because I never actually realised how good she is in this episode. Just going from like that look of like when Carrie comes over and she's just sitting there on the sofa, like just clearly that devastation, you can feel it. And then to like reclaiming, what an amazing moment, like reclaiming her like courage through
her
the
power,
through the medium of Elizabeth Taylor.
Now is the time for guts
and guile.
I always remember that when I'm feeling like shit, I'm always like, you can do this. Think Elizabeth Taylor via Sex and the City, via Charlotte. Put on your pink dress and
put the sunglasses
strut down.
On.
Yeah.
Put your chin up high.
Ba 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 ba.
The E true Hollywood story. But like what I, and this is when Sex and the City is at its absolute best, is when it really deftly combines like really real emotional stuff with then the Elizabeth Taylor thing was touching and like just funny enough, like not so funny that they were poking fun of any of it at all, but like funny and just, yeah, just great, great stuff.
And about where women find inspiration, and sometimes you find inspiration in the strangest of places. Yeah. And it rang true to me that Charlotte is in the doldrums until she comes across a really tacky documentary about Elizabeth Taylor. And from that, she finds what it is she needs in that moment. And I think we've all done that where, you know, you're sort of like, you're just miserable. And then randomly you watch an episode of fucking Repair Shop and you're like, I'm alive again. I'm revived. I am risen.
Or in fact,
and I think that was good.
Or for both of us, I'm sure. In fact, an episode of Sex and the City.
100%, absolutely. God, Sex and the City has inspired me more times than I can count.
Yeah.
I thought it's really good as well. I mean, I will say, so many of my friends have been through pregnancy loss in the early days. I'm what, 42 now, and all through my 30s, and even now, you know, I'm not going to name names and draw attention to individuals, but it still happens, and every time it's such a shit situation, but it's so common. And one of the good things now that I think has changed since this episode is I think now people are getting so much more open about their pregnancy loss. I think it used to be considered something quite shameful. And as we discover with Charlotte in a couple of weeks, you know, it's something that she really internalizes. Like, I think there's something wrong with me because I'm not able to do this thing, which particularly cis girls are told their whole lives that this is kind of your destiny. You know, this is your reason for being on this earth. And that's why any sort of person's negotiation with the idea of parenthood and especially motherhood is so complicated, because whether you choose to have children or not, it's kind of something that all, and I think this really does apply to cis girls, it's something that cis girls just can't avoid it. You know, you're either told, oh, you know, of course you'll want babies, or you'll want a baby when you meet the right person. Well, as soon as I transitioned, people started asking me, do you want children? Nobody had ever asked me that before. Never before I was a woman.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think the worst thing you can do is kind of hide. And because I think it's just, like I said, it's so common. Like, yeah. In fact, I don't know many people, women in particular, who got pregnant on the first attempt and carried that baby all the way through to 9 months. And I think there is a solidarity and a support to be found from knowing that this is something that an awful lot of people go through, and it's not personal, you're not cursed, it's just one of those things. And I think that the episode does that well. Harry says it happens a lot. The doctor said it's really good we get pregnant, and of course eventually Charlotte will go on to carry a baby to term in the form of Rock, and of course adopt a Satan baby in the form of Lily.
I think it's said twice, isn't it, that it's very common.
Super common,
which is great. Just a really important, I guess, one of Sex and the City's most important storylines, really, if it's kind of helping women in that way, to both let people know that it's common when they might not otherwise have actually known that, because it's been talked about so little. And also just helping perceptions of it in general. I really loved the scene, Carrie good friending when she's straight over, and so sweet that just Harry, the first thing Harry did was call her. And I really liked it as well because we love those moments where it shows how close they all are, because these people have been friends for a long time now, when she just quickly like touches Harry's arm and she says, are you okay?
Yeah. It's a love. And I almost wonder if that was improvised.
Yeah.
It felt very truthful.
Yeah. 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 Lovely.
And Harry, I mean, Evan handles it really well as well when he goes to Miranda's party and Miranda talks to him and he's like, I don't know what to do. And it's like, cause there's nothing you can't, if I've learned one thing, it's that you can't pull somebody out of a depression. You can't cheerlead someone out of a depression. It just does not work like that.
That was a bit that I think was done really well as well, when Carrie was talking to Charlotte when she went around, mm-hmm. and Charlotte was really upset. And she was saying, I can't remember exactly what she said, but she was saying things like, oh, and I apparently this happens all the time and you can try again. And you can just tell that, like, it's not good. You can just tell that Charlotte's just not, like, and when you're in that kind of headspace, it doesn't, like, nothing anyone says helps, does it? And I think she, Kristen Davis, portrayed that really well.
With very little dialogue.
Yeah, actually.
It'd be really interesting to see the script on that one, where she only says one line to Carrie, which is, I can't go to Brady's party. And then obviously the scenes where she's watching Elizabeth Taylor, she's acting without dialogue. When she walks out of the apartment, she has no dialogue. Mm. And then when she arrives at Miranda's party, she only has
one line
of dialogue, which is smile. Or happy birthday, Brady, or something.
Yeah.
Just an incredible thing. And it's funny, isn't it? Because when Just Like That first started, we talked a little bit about Kristen Davis's, the time it took her to find her way back to Charlotte.
Yes.
And I think she has done.
Yeah.
Even if, and just like that now feels like a weird COVID dream that I keep having. But anyway, that's for another time. Let's move on to Miranda and Steve and Blair Underwood waiting for his cue. That's my favourite scene, where Blair Underwood is waiting for his cue with the balloons, and then you see him almost hit his mark. Like, he's just waiting to move. It's brilliant. That's not his fault. That was a directorial thing. As the camera moves, action on Blair Underwood. But yeah, the cookie.
The cookie.
Oh.
I think if someone, even if Blair Underwood gave me a giant cookie that said, I love you on it, I'd be a little bit like, ick.
No, I want to, Blair Underwood, if you're listening to this, please give me an I love you cookie.
We're accepting.
And I will still, like Miranda, I would eat the whole thing.
When she just, it is so funny, and I can't explain why, when she's just like compulsively eating the whole thing. And it's also like one of the most gift, for some reason, like gifable, I see that gif constantly of just Miranda eating the cookie.
Just hide the evidence, Miranda. It's just such a fucking big cookie as well.
Like, it's ridiculous. It's the size of, so like American portions, I mean, like the cookie, the pizza that they get is the size of a dustbin lid. And then the cookie is the size of like one of our pizzas in the UK. Like, it's ridiculous. What else? What was the other ridiculous bit? Yeah, so she freaks out about him having said, I love you. And says, I am so fucked up, like about 1,000 times down the phone to Carrie. And then she watches Jules and Mimi. And then Jules and Mimi say, I love you to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And
Debbie says that she loves Steve.
Debbie looking stunning.
Oh, just she's the most gorgeous.
So stunning. I looked up the actor and she is,
Elaney something. I can't pronounce the surname.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is awful. I would say strongly, I would guess it's Greek.
Yeah, it begins with an X, doesn't it? Her surname, I think. But she, I looked her up and did a bit of stalking. She seems to be just living her best life. She's got a couple of kids. Seems to not be in the public eye very much anymore, but good for her.
A sweet, simple, beautiful Greek girl.
Yes.
Like, maybe that should have been the spin-off they did, rather than just like Debbie the Greek.
I did really like that she, like her and Mary Brady got on really well, and they were like, she was like, she said to her, oh, Debbie, do you want a beer? And Debbie was like, sure. And then Miranda was sort of like standing there awkwardly. I really liked that dynamic of those two just clicking, and Miranda feeling,
there's a class analysis to be had around Steve Brady's family. So obviously Irish New York family, Mary Brady being able to interact with Debbie in a way that she cannot interact with Miranda, possibly because of a bit of a difference in background and education.
That's
not really explored, but,
or she feels like she can't, or like Miranda feels like she can't, or
but I did like that. But unfortunately the cookie is the death knell for poor Robert Leeds. And I guess because it shows a strange, like, If I was buying a gift from Miranda, never would I buy her a cookie that said I love you.
It shows
bizarre, just yeah, baffling.
It shows he doesn't know her, like, yeah, really. And then again, I got the ick from him when he's like, which is such a weird line, when he's like, you like chocolate, don't you?
Oh, like, my God, I'm so glad you said that. Yeah, it's the way he sort of says it to the back of her head, ooh, like a serial killer. Very... Like, you like chocolate. Ah, it's the chocolate killer, everyone. Run.
Very
that's the last words you hear before you die.
Oh my God. But yeah, that was weird as well. But he's in it next week, isn't he? Being like,
yeah,
behaving
even more serial killer.
Yeah, behaving erratically. Mm-hmm. But loved the scene in the airing cupboard.
Well, exactly. When you love someone, it's not hard to say you love them, is it, Miranda?
Yeah. And then Steve's like, I love you too. And then my favourite bit was Magda catching them.
She knew.
She
the
knew.
Magical old woman. Everybody knows old women are magical. When you turn 50, women become magic. And yes, Magda is a witch. And she knew all along that those two were destined to be together until Miranda dumps him for Che Diaz in 20 years' time.
I can't. Oh.
It really shits on the whole season, doesn't it? Kind of like they get married in a couple of weeks. That's dead as well now.
Oh, God.
Do you think she's already suffering from early onset dementia at this point?
Well,
hence hiring a clown for an adult only party.
Could be. Yeah, she does seem a bit out of it, doesn't she?
Mm. Maybe they did say, P.S., you have Alzheimer's.
In a couple of weeks, you've got Alzheimer's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You'll be eating pizza out of a bin in 9 weeks, babe.
This pizza tastes like garbage. I enjoyed Carrie's line, Brady's 1 year old, and yet I haven't aged a day.
Well, Dylan.
She actually
let's
kind
think
of
a
hasn't.
Bit about timeline. Because... Okay, so if we remember, Miranda gave birth at the end of season 4.
Yeah.
So we stand here now halfway through season 6, but only 1 year has passed and Aiden has a child. So in the space of this year, Aiden met, impregnated, birthed, and is now carrying a baby around Manhattan.
Do you think it was their determination to keep it in eternal summer that screwed up the timeline? Because if season...
Some bullshit is happening.
If season
somewhere.
5 had been in winter, that could have been winter of the same year. And then... Yeah.
Yeah. If it weren't for Aiden's baby, I could have probably gone okay.
Yeah.
But I think there's some other... It's Aiden's child is what's confusing things.
Also,
and obviously, the reason Brady can't be 2 is because they really needed the episode to be about the 1. So.
Yeah, true. Also, like, what's happening with Carrie's book at this point? I suddenly thought of it in this episode and I was like, we haven't heard it. Her book just sort of came out to not much fanfare. And then she just like went back to writing her column.
She got her advance from France.
Oh, that's true, yeah. But we haven't heard anything since then, have we?
Well, she's about to stumble upon her French fan base and fuck them over, if we recall. So.
There is something about that scene that I find so devastating.
Sad.
I just feel so bad.
We're jumping the gun. Well, yeah. We'll come to it. We'll see you here in 10 weeks' time. But yes, but hooray for Miranda and Steve.
Yeah.
3 weeks later, they were back together.
Yeah.
Which leaves us just with Samantha and her grey pube. Dylan, I've got a grey pube.
Have you?
Yeah.
I found a grey hair in my beard the other day.
I've just got one grey pube.
Oh.
And every single time I see it, I think of Samantha. And I think of, do you know what? The line that has haunted me more than anything else from Sex and the City is that if you pluck a hair, 6 will come to its funeral. And Carrie rightly is like, bitch, but what if Samantha's right? And this is why to this day, when I have a head full of grey hair and I dare not pluck them out in case I am cursed with 6 more. Listeners, please tell me I'm not the only person who truly buys into Samantha's old wives' tale.
You can just buy yourself a box of Nice and Easy and dye
it. Well, Dylan, I will be honest with you. At the moment, I have bright red hair. So clearly I'm not above dyeing my hair. But I've never dyed my pubes.
No, that would it would be really uncomfortable apart from anything else.
Do you enjoy a full bush, Dylan?
I don't have a preference, actually.
I thought you were about to say, I don't have any pubes. What, never?
No, as long as... No, it's fine. As long as it's not, like, you know, coming over the rim of the cup. Like, I don't know.
Fuck?
Like, as long as it's not, like, overflowing out of the underwear.
Right, okay.
Like, not crazy, but hair is fine. I don't mind.
Yeah, no, I think... I don't understand particularly why cis men don't trim their pubes, because it just makes everything look bigger,
yeah.
Kind of, and a bit tidier. Kind of.
Yeah.
I have always enjoyed, like, sort of topiary.
Yeah.
I always think I don't understand total baldness down there.
No, I actually,
it freaks me out. It freaks me out a bit. It feels a bit childlike.
Yeah, or like uncooked meat, uncooked chicken.
Yeah, again, this is a very porny thing, and this is the unfortunately porn has frazzled our brains that I think particularly a totally bald cis man looks really weird, like super weird, whereas. I think a totally bald cis woman, sadly, has almost become the norm in porn.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, but no, I like a landing strip, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the scene, the bathroom scene, the two-hander with Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker is perfect on every... The plate of pasta, Carrie's reaction... It's just glorious.
I belly laughed, really laughed. I can't remember the last time I've laughed this much at Sex and the City. And it's such a stupid line as well when Samantha's like, no one wants to fuck grandma's
fuck
pussy.
Fuck grandma's pussy.
And then Carrie's like, this is a child's birthday party. So good.
Oh, I wish they'd got on. Again, it seems like this where you're kind of like, it's all so sad that those actors could not.
Yeah.
I like to think that a bit like, have you seen September Issue?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, you should watch it. Like, clearly Anna Wintour and Grace Coddington clearly despise each other.
Yeah.
But it's really obvious that they have absolute respect for one another.
Interesting,
and they understand that no one in the world can do their respective jobs better than Anna Wintour and Grace Coddington.
Yeah.
And I like to think that Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall understand that they are actors at the top of their game, and Sex and the City would not have worked if either one of them hadn't been in it. And that's kind of why, and just like that, doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean...
So,
yeah. The visual gag was pretty good as well from, like, her
like, what
bush.
An amazing merkin. Like, some hard-working prop person had to make. But how realistic, so pube-like. Fantastically pube-like.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kim Cattrall was like, I'll just grow my pubes and dye them orange and you can just shoot it. Like,
but I mean, also, I doff my cap to Nice and Easy for agreeing to that product placement, because I'm fairly sure it says somewhere on the head, I don't use this anywhere other than your head. So
yeah, and it also kind of implies that, like, it might come out how it's not, because the box that she buys is blonde and then it comes out orange.
Yeah.
Although she does say, I left it on too long, so it's...
Well, the issue isn't leaving it on too long, because actually if she left it on too long, it would be blonde.
Yeah.
I guess, well, who can say? Who can say? But by the end, it was all gone. I loved Smith's bummer.
Yeah.
Like, he just really loves the full bush.
Bummer.
He's a simple young man who loves a load of pubes.
Good for him.
And we ask you that question as well, listeners. Do you enjoy a full bush? Okay. We're a community, and I like to think now you feel safe enough to tell us about pubes.
Also, pubes. We talked a lot about pubes when we had Callie Thorpe on, and we asked people to write in, and loads of people wrote in about their pubes. So it's
thanks, listeners. We love it.
Topic.
Yeah. Well, again, it's something. It doesn't, whatever your background, whatever your gender or sexuality, It's common ground. We all have pubes, unless you have alopecia, because actually then you wouldn't have pubes. Yeah. So there you go. In terms of when will we be done with the one, or when will searching for the one be done? Never. It's the human condition. We're always looking for something. We are creatures of want. What can I say?
I think you're right. Yes.
But I agree that one thing is not going to change your life. And that's kind of where that's where she has her little breakdown. She thought that once she met a man like Dr. Robert Leeds, all her bullshit would go away. And that does not work. I've done this throughout my career. If I could just get a book deal, if I could just get an American book deal, if I could just sell the TV rights, then I will be satisfied. And do you know what? I think as human beings, we are never fully satisfied. And I don't think that's a bad thing, because it keeps you looking.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And keeps you trying.
Definitely. And yeah, I think like in a relationship sense, if you're determined to, again, we've spoken about this before, haven't we?
Yeah.
But if you're always determined to find the one, the perfect one, you can screw yourself mm-hmm. over, because you'll always be looking.
Yeah. Well, it's Quentin Crisp's Tall Dark Stranger, isn't it? Which is, there's always, and I think especially if you live in a city, there's that constant sense that the grass is always greener and that somebody else is just around the corner.
Yeah. Another Samantha quote. Yes, I need glasses and I'm not ashamed. I have a sexy young man who loves to fuck me and I'm fabulous. That's her first line in the episode.
Same, girl, same. Yeah. Although I'm nearly the same age as Samantha in this episode. I don't feel like I'm that old. I just don't feel like I'm Samantha yet.
Well, it's not old.
45, it's not old. But when I watched this back when I was a kid, it felt really old.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. There was a woke Charlotte moment when Harry says, I'm not going to get sold into white slavery, am I?
Oh my God, yeah.
And Petrovsky.
The Russians, well known for selling columnists into white slavery.
Petrovsky quite rightly is like, what? Oh, Carrie.
Yeah, that's truly Carrie what he was planning all along. Although she does get trafficked to France. So.
Oh my God, trafficked to Paris.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for joining us. It's our last run. These are the last 10 episodes of Sex and the City.
Of the OG.
Of the original series, yeah.
I know. I'm just looking up what we've got next. What episode we've got next. Sex and the City, season 6, episode 13. Let There Be Light. In which, Robert Leeds freaks out. Charlotte does volunteer work.
Oh, is it where she gets led around being blind?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Andy Cohen. I think Andy Cohen has a cameo next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes, we'll be back next week for... There's a funny little run now. I was in the back end of season 6.
Odd.
Until we get to Splat, there's not a lot of iconic episodes. So let's bear with us.
Yeah.
We'll get through it together. We'll get through it as a gang. And we will see you same time. Well, we'll see you next Tuesday as ever. Until then, take care of yourselves. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.